Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at ianmasters.com. And joining us now is Michael Cohen, a columnist for the Boston Globe, who served in the United States State Department as chief speechwriter for the U.S. representative to the United Nations. He's the author of American Maelstrom, the 1968 presidential election and the politics of division. He also wrote an article in the Boston Globe back in April, Homeland Security's John Kelly is Unhinged. Welcome to Background Briefing, Michael Cohen.
Thank you. Great to be here.
And do you still think that he's unhinged? Because he said he's working for a president who many people think is unhinged. So that's a double whammy.
Well, I would say taking a job as White House Chief of Staff that does lead to legitimate questions about one's mental health at this point, I would say. But the column I wrote back in April was focused on Kelly's rhetoric around the immigration ban, around the threat from terrorism. And what's striking to me about Kelly is not only is he an A-plus threatmonger and scaremonger and fearmonger who talks about terrorism and the threat from immigrants in existential terms, but he's clearly aping the rhetoric of the White House, of Trump, of Steve Bannon, of other folks inside the White House who have adopted a very harsh anti-immigration agenda. And so I think from that perspective, you know, it's hard to view Kelly as somebody who is going to be a guy to come in and shake heads and, you know, push Trump in the right direction. When, if anything, he's been an enabler of Trump's worst instincts and this administration's worst instincts.
But do you think there's a wider power play here involved in Trump taking this Homeland Security head into the White House as his chief of staff after having unceremoniously fired Reince Priebus, ordering him to swat flies in the Oval Office? Oh my God. But the point I want to make is that, is this possibly a way to ease Jeff Sessions out of the DOJ into Homeland Security, where he's a good fit since he's obsessed with the border and immigration? Is that going on behind the scenes?
At this point, I would seriously doubt that would happen. I think Sessions is not going to leave DOJ unless Trump fires him. And it would be very strange after all the terrible things that Trump said about Sessions and then move him over to Homeland Security. I think at this point, this is really just about Trump wanting to get rid of Priebus and bring a general in, because he has a childlike fetishization of guys in uniforms. And so I think he just thinks someone in a uniform is somebody who can, you know, bring order and stop all the leaks in the White House, which, of course, is not going to happen. But I think that's probably what his mindset is. But I think also to go back to the point I made earlier, I think also the issue is that Kelly has been a loyal soldier. You know, Kelly has been the person who has carried out these immigration raids, who has used some of the same divisive, I would say somewhat racist rhetoric about illegal immigrants or undocumented immigrants. And so I think in that sense, he views Kelly as somebody who will do his bidding. And that's really all that Donald Trump really wants, is not somebody to restore order, but somebody who will do what he wants them to do.
So the idea that we have these adults in the rooms, these generals, Mattis and McMaster, and the idea that there's a third adult in the room, I mean, the point that some people have made is that maybe these guys aren't even in the room. Maybe he doesn't listen to Mattis and McMaster. So you're saying he's not likely to listen to this guy as an adult. He just wants him to be a loyal soldier.
I mean, I'm old enough to remember when people said that bringing in McMaster to the NSC would bring the adults back into the White House and create, you know, more coherence on foreign policy. And, you know, how has that worked out? Of course, it hasn't happened at all, because Trump, you know, does what he wants to do and doesn't listen to anybody. Mattis has been, has certainly been, I think, more effective at DOD, but more because he's not in the White House. But certainly on a number of key issues, from torture, from the transgender ban that Trump announced recently, to even the Paris Climate Treaty, he's ignored Mattis's advice. So I don't see much evidence that the so-called adults in the room are having any real impact on Trump's thinking. He is the president, and he is somebody who is incapable, I think, of being directed by anybody, not a person alive. He's directed by his own ego and his own, poor impulses, and I don't expect Kelly to be any different.
Well, the problem, I think, with too many generals, and not that, as we've discussed, perhaps they don't even have his ear. I mean, you mentioned he loves generals and people in uniform. He also loves hedge fund guys like Scaramucci. So that's an odd bifurcation there. But given what you wrote about in your article back in April in the Boston Globe, Michael Cohen, Homeland Security's John Kelly is unhinged. You quote him saying, "Make no mistake, we are a nation under attack, and we are under attack every single day. The threats are relentless." Is that the problem, that a guy that has a hammer sees everything as a nail?
I think, yes. I mean, to some extent, with Kelly, he clearly is somebody who is a very black and white guy. Like a lot of military folks, he has a real tunnel vision. He views terrorism as a threat and doesn't sort of see, I think, the larger context of how terrorism, the role of terrorism in international relations or, larger political issues. I think even just he's obsessed with his own briefs. His brief is pressing against terrorism, pressing against, undocumented immigrants, then that becomes the most important issue in the world. And it's not unusual for somebody in that kind of position to then exaggerate the threat. It's exaggerate, the dangers that they're dealing with on a daily basis. So I think part of the rhetoric is just, part of what happens when you have a sort of military mindset. And sort of, I think Kelly demonstrates that. But I think it's also an indication that Kelly is very much of a loyal soldier and will do what the president wants him to do and wants him to say. That's not the description of somebody who's going to come into the White House and, sort of shake Trump by the lapels and get him to be a more disciplined president. I think of him as, I think you look at someone like Scaramucci too, and this is another example. Scaramucci got this job because he never says a bad word of the president and because he says nice things about the president on TV. Trump wants to be surrounded by sycophants, people who basically tell him how great he is. Who don't question him, who don't push him, who don't confront him. And that's Scaramucci, and that seems to be Kelly to some extent. And so, you've got a president who already doesn't listen to anybody, but doesn't hear bad news, doesn't hear alternative viewpoints or ignores them. And now he's surrounding himself with people who are less likely to give him harsh news or give him, candor. So I think, this just creates... Puts Trump in even more of a situation in which he's unlikely to. He's positioned more to keep doing what he's been doing, and to keep tweeting and to keep saying things that are offensive and that violate norms and that are illegal and so forth. I don't see any reason to believe that's going to change, and that people around him are people who are more likely to enable that than they are to stop it.
No, indeed, it not only is Donald Trump ruining America's domestically and its the opinion of mankind globally, is also, I think, ruining the very office of the presidency, or at least lowering it to the point where it's embarrassing. And again, I'm speaking with Michael Cohen, a columnist for the Boston Globe, who previously served in the United States Department of State as chief speechwriter for the U.S. representative to the United Nations. He's the author of American Maelstrom, the 1968 presidential election and the politics of division. And he wrote a column in the Boston Globe back in April, Homeland Security's John Kelly is unhinged. What was the local reaction since the Boston Globe? Kelly is a Bostonian, I believe. Did you get any pushback from that?
No. In fact, oddly enough, that piece came out in April, and or yesterday and Friday, it was the most popular piece in the Globe site. I think that I don't think there's a lot of affection for Kelly just because he's from Massachusetts. I think, especially for folks on the left, I think they view anybody connected to Trump as in negative terms. I was happy to give John Kelly the benefit of the doubt, but he's demonstrated. As Homeland Security Secretary, that he is as problematic of a cabinet secretary as any of Trump's cabinet secretaries. I think that's partly, by the way, where we are right now in American politics. The polarization is so incredibly intense, and I think I think people, especially on the left, are overwhelmingly responding to criticisms of this administration.
Well, I think that fundamental problem is Trump sees himself as a family in this delusion of power that he has. And he does have real power at his fingertips. He has the power to destroy the world, after all. But I think the problem here is that he sees himself as a ruler, and he doesn't know how to govern, and he doesn't have any interest in governing. And how can this guy who Trump treats all of his subordinates, sometimes as he's done with Priebus, in the most demeaning way, having him run around the Oval Office swatting flies. What's he going to do with this guy? Is he going to treat him as a subordinate, or is he going to allow him to do his job?
Of course he'll treat him as a subordinate. I mean, I would expect nothing else. That's what I would... I don't expect in any way this to be any different. You know, he will treat Kelly as he's treated everyone else around him. I mean, maybe he'll be... my understanding with McMaster now is that he's basically tuned McMaster out for the most part. And there's been some hinting in the press that he's looking to fire him and to move him and to move Pompeo from CIA over to the NSC. You know, again, I mean, you're dealing with somebody who is basically a child and somebody who has who expects to get their way and doesn't like to get told he's wrong. And I just don't expect to see anybody coming in there and able to be sort of the adult in the room, as people like to say.
So you don't think he'll be able to curtail this extraordinary situation where all kinds of people have walk-in privileges into the Oval Office, including Amoroso, the African-American lady who is like his chief cheerleader? I mean, it's pretty surreal, isn't it?
I suppose it's possible that you'll have a situation in which Kelly will be able to make the trains run on time more effectively inside the White House, you know, but... Again, it's and I said this yesterday. I mean, you know, giving Kelly this job is sort of like, you know, making him captain of the Titanic after the ship hit the iceberg, right? I mean, you know, perhaps it'll be more orderly for a short time, but the ship is still going down, and so you know, the pressures on this White House, the incapacity of the president, you know, the investigations into Russia and the potential collusion, that's not going away. It's only going to get worse, and so I think. You know, it's again, I mean, it's to use analogy again, it's like moving deck chairs in the Titanic. You're not going to really be able to, I think, have an effect what is happening in a really significant way. Anybody, I don't think anybody can change it.
Right, but to use the Titanic analogy, the Republicans in the House and Senate, the enablers, I like the ship, the California, that was close by the Titanic and ignored the fact that it was sinking and thought the flares, distress flares, were in fact
right.
A fireworks show. They seem to be completely, I mean, are they going to come around? I think McCain clearly made a stand, and I think that kind of woke them up. But the idea of McCain's call for regular order, that's what people think that Kelly's going to do in the White House. He's going to bring about regular order. You're telling us that that's not likely to happen. How long are these? Are these guys?
No reason.
Yeah, but how long are the enablers going to go along with this delusion that they actually have a president, a competent, sane president?
I mean, as long as it's in their interest to do so. I mean, clearly, the folks inside in the Republicans in Congress have decided that it is in their interest to, you know, enable Trump's behavior and to not scrutinize the terrible thing that he does and says, because in the end they want him to sign laws, they want him to sign their priorities, and beyond that, I think there's a much more elemental issue here, which is that they're afraid of his supporters. You know, they don't want to upset Trump supporters, they don't want to upset the Republican voters who still like Trump. So there's no real incentive for them to go after him in a serious way. And I mean, you've seen that for the past 6 months. I see no reason. I mean, at some point, what I would say about this, at some point, Republicans will decide it's no longer in their interest to be supporting Trump, but we're nowhere near that point as far as I'm concerned. And you know, the death of the healthcare may change things somewhat, because it does sort of, I think, show, you know, that even having Trump in the White House doesn't really, if you can't pass laws in the House and Senate, it doesn't really matter who's in the White House. You know, but I think there probably are enough Republicans who hold out a pipe dream about getting tax reform, so they'll, you know, they'll hold off and do anything until that has run its course. But they're playing with fire politically. I mean, at some point, it's going to come back and bite them. I mean, in 2018, it's the most likely time it's going to bite them. They are putting themselves in political danger by becoming the president. And every single senator, all 49 of them, voted for that bill in the Senate that would take away health care from, you know, 16 million people or more. Have put themselves in political danger. You know, they may think in the short term it's a good thing to do. They'll avoid a primary challenge on the right. Okay, in the long term, you know, they're going to pay a price for this. But that price may not come until November 2018.
Sure. And they voted for something that they literally did not know. There was nothing. They didn't know what was in it.
They didn't want to pass.
They didn't.
They voted and they did not want to become law.
Right.
It's surreal.
And it was an act of reckless cynicism on their part. I thank you for joining us, Michael Cohen. This is a very depressing time for the nation, and we can only hope that things get better, but no, the indications are that they're going to get worse.
Unfortunately, I think you're right.
And again, I'm speaking with Michael Cohen, who's a columnist for the Boston Globe, who previously served in the U.S. Department of State as chief speechwriter for the U.S. representative to the United Nations. He's the author of American Maelstrom, the 1968 presidential election and the politics of division. And he wrote a column in the Boston Globe back in April, Homeland Security's John Kelly is Unhinged. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back and go to Caracas, Venezuela for this critical day, which may spell the end of democracy in Venezuela.